Hello, we're back with 10 Minutes of Talmud, and today we are going to talk about going to see the King. So we'll say our blessing and be on our way. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok v'divrei Torah. All right, we're just rolling right along here. We're in the Yerushalmi, Tractate Brachot, Chapter 1. We're still in Halakha 1. This is this nice long piece here about the Shema. If you're in the Schottenstein, that's page 8A1. And we've been talking about the prayers with the Shema that you say at night and how they protect you. And they sort of are a guarantor of good things to come. And so, God bless Rabbi Zera. He comes in here and he says, wait a minute. I said the Shema at night, and something happened to me that I didn't particularly like. So here we go. Amar Rabbi Zera, Ana techafit u'la litzila. He says, well, wait a minute, wait. I once smacked the Shema and the Amidah right smack together. Okay, I did just what you said, which was going to guarantee me a good day. V'itzdadit ba'angraya. And I was drafted into the king's service. Mava hadas lefaltin. And I was required to take myrtle to his palace. Now, you have to remember that myrtle is it's not only fragrant, so it would be sort of used as a perfume in someone's house, but it's also a fertility wand. Brides have somebody dancing before them at a wedding, juggling these sticks, and the myrtle sticks are associated with fertility. So it's not a problem that the king wants a bunch of myrtle branches. All right. Amru Le. So some other people said to Rabbi Zera, Rabbi, Ravuhi, master, teacher, no, that's a good thing that you go and have to bring myrtle branches to the palace. It b'nei enash yahavim pratim mechakim paltim. There are many people who would pay money to see the palace. Actually, that's kind of a good way of looking at it. Amar Rabbi Ami, so Rabbi Ami says, Kol mi she'eno tochef ligula tfila, anybody who does not smack immediately the Shema and the Amida together, l'mahu domet, to what is he similar? Le'o havo shel melech sheba hirtik al picho shel melech. Now these analogies, these similes, these metaphors with a person vis-a-vis a king of flesh and blood, these occur all the time, all the time. This is a very familiar stock outline to talk about God, all right? So it's like one of the king's dear friends who came and knocked on the king's door. Yatsa lidei mahu mevakesh, and so the king comes to the door to find out, you know, why somebody's knocking on his door. Mitzao shehiflei, and he finds that he has distanced himself. So in other words, if you say the Shema, that's like you knocking on God's door. But you don't knock on God's door and then not ask a question, either how are you, or could you help me, or things like that, which is what you do in the Amida. So they're saying, don't knock on God's door, and then not follow up with why you were knocking, all right? Odhu kiflik, but if you say the Shema and you don't follow the Amida, God is going to be like that king, and the king is getting to the door, and you've gone from the door. You didn't wait around. And the king is going to just say, well, I don't need that guy around. Likewise, God if you say the Shema but you don't say the Amidah, he's going to be annoyed. All right. So now we get to another phrase of our Mishnah. If you recall way, way, way back when, Rabban Gamliel says, you can stay up all night, and as long as you haven't hit the dawn, you can still say your evening Shema. Okay. So, Pisgah, which just basically means a paragraph, new paragraph. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Achi Ya'ale Amud HaShachar. So Rabban Gamliel says you can say the evening Shema until the light of dawn. Atya, the Rabban Gamliel, the Rabbi Shimon. So Rabban Gamliel's opinion is in accord with Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The Tani B'Shem Rabbi Shimon, for we taught, it was learned in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Pa'amim she'adam kore et Shema. Sometimes a person could recite the Shema twice together. Achat l'ifnei amud ha'shachar ve'achat l'achar amud ha'shachar. So once just before the light of dawn rises and once just after the light of dawn rises, and it will turn out that he has discharged his duty to say the Shema in the night and in the morning. Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Ba'aravit. So that's it. Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon agree. Can say it all the way until the anytime before the sun comes out, you're good to go in reciting the evening Shema. Af b'shacharit kein, do they similarly regard the time of saying the morning Shema? That as long as, you know, the first rays of dawn have come up, bam, you can say it and you're good to go. O yehei b'akai d'mar rabbi z'eratane. Or does he hold regarding the morning Shema that it's according to Rabbi Shimon, the teacher of the conservator of learning? All right, it might be a good time to talk about this. A Tana is a person who recites traditions. The word Tana comes from the root in Hebrew, Shana. Shana means to repeat, hence the word year, as in Rosh Hashanah, is from the root to repeat. So there are Tanaim all the way from the year 70, and probably before, quite frankly, but 70, all the way through the rabbinic period, all the way through up to the year 500, and probably afterwards as well. Unfortunately, there's a lot of lazy habits we get into, and sometimes people will tell you that a Tana is a teacher from 70 to 200. Not. Totally not. No. So, all right, we'll pick it back up here tomorrow, and we'll find out what Rabbi Zaira taught. All right, talk to you then. Bye.